Hi, this is Katie.
And this is Laura.
And you're listening to the podcast by Parent Network of Western New York. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Parent Network Pod. I'm Katie.
And I'm Laura. Thanks for joining us today as we discuss family engagement and the challenges around the issue and how to overcome them.
So today on our podcast, we have a little bit of a celebrity, and she is to me. She's going to be our expert for the day. Her name is Anna Ball. We have a lot of similarities. I'm a graduate student at UB, and I really admire your work and your research, and we've done a lot of talking about it. Mostly, I like seeing your presentations. I saw you at Family Engagement last year, and to look at everything from your different levels of your research was fascinating. So I was wondering, what brought you to UB?
So it's been sort of a long journey. I started in school social work originally. That's sort of always been my passion, and my interest has been around education. And actually, while I was doing my MSW, I had my first internship was in Detroit Public Schools, and I almost immediately just realized sort of the extent of the issues in urban schools and the ways in which communities and families and bigger systems impact educational outcomes for kids, and especially kids who are vulnerable. And so from that point on, I just became passionate and sort of consumed by learning more about school social work. And then I also got frustrated, though, at the same time, and realized that these issues were pretty big, and I wanted to pursue my PhD so that I could work and also do research with educational systems and policy to help to create change from the outside, actually. And then from there, getting my PhD, I accepted a faculty position at Louisiana State University first, and then I came to Buffalo and took the position in the School of Social Work at UB. And since then, it's been really fun. Buffalo has a lot of similarities with Detroit, and it's been sort of like coming home and sort of tackling these educational issues in a setting that's really familiar to me, and I think really highlights the need for this work, given all of the disparities that we have in our systems, the segregation that we experience here in Buffalo and a lot of Rust Belt cities.
That's a really interesting personal connection. So I understand that your area of expertise and a lot of your research is surrounding family engagement. Let's just start from square one for, say, a parent who's listening, or a teacher, an educator, an administrator. What is family engagement?
Traditionally, parent and family engagement was sort of thought of in terms of parent involvement in schools. So the idea was really, how can parents help schools? How can parents help their kids learn? And that was almost always viewed as parents volunteering in the school. And since then, we've expanded that idea considerably, and we've moved towards the idea of family engagement, which focuses more on mutual relationships between schools and parents and family members. So really focusing on the fact that these relationships should go both ways and that there should be benefits for both schools and families.
So you shared a little bit of your backstory with us, and that led you into noticing the comparison between Detroit and Buffalo. Why did you decide to study family engagement? What parallels did you notice to allow you to study that?
So while I was in Detroit, it was an interesting setting. I was in a part of Detroit that is predominantly Latino, and the kids that I was working with, to a large extent, their families were undocumented. There were a lot of language barriers. Many of the teachers didn't speak Spanish at all. And so there was a big divide between parents and the school. To a large extent, parents were just marginalized entirely because the school didn't really know how to engage them. They didn't even really know how to talk to them. And I really thought it was sort of an unfortunate situation where we didn't really view families as families. Instead, we just saw kids and we saw their parents as this separate entity that kids just go home to at the end of the day. So from there, I got interested in parents. But then the longer and the more time I spent in education, the more time I spent in schools, I also started hearing people in schools and staff really just saying things about parents that weren't positive, blaming parents for kids' problems in schools. And I know as a social worker that parents love their children and parents do the best that they can with what they have. So since then, I've always wanted to give voice sort of to families and do the best that I can to help us understand how we can fully engage parents and families meaningfully in schools and help everybody do better because ultimately it takes all of us for kids to do well.
And that hits a little bit home for me, because when I was going through my divorce, when Ty was in preschool, I remember specifically sitting with the preschool teacher at our parent-teacher conference and her bashing me for my divorce in front of my son. And then her specifically saying when he went through the special education process and they didn't find him eligible for an IEP, they found him eligible for a 504, her saying in the meeting that I ruined his life, so he's going to need counseling because I screwed up his family dynamic. And that was the most heart-wrenching. I mean, it has a silver lining, not only because she got fired, but it is a silver lining because it brought me to Parent Network. So I have learned how to become that advocate, and it's my driving force when I hear parents day in, day out on the phone. But yeah, it was one of the most gut-wrenching, because I don't feel like, whether any aspect, but we never know what other people are going through. And I feel in the teacher role specifically, you just have so much on your mind and so much of your agenda and what you need to do and this standard here, that we forget parents' lives happening. Very similarly, that parents forget that teachers have lives too. So what are those teachers going home to? Do they have a support system? And so, yes, it's like that overall glitch in the system.
I know we've hit on a bunch of different barriers here within the last couple minutes, sort of the ghosts of the parents, the ghosts of the parents and their experiences in the schools. What are some other big barriers that you see surrounding family engagement?
I think really that is sort of the biggest issue, is that ideally, like, shouldn't we all be on the same team? I mean, isn't that how we will achieve the best outcome? And so what happens often is that each group is sort of consumed by their own issues and their own needs, which happens in other relationships too. It's not just between parents and schools. This happens in interpersonal relationships. But we come to the table with our own problems and we're preoccupied by what we need. And we end up not really seeing the other party. So I think there's a lot of research that shows that on the family side, there are really legitimate barriers that are tangible. So things like lack of transportation, conflicting work schedules, or language barriers, but also things like previous bad experiences in school, or actually what we're starting to call like educational trauma, growing up in a system that didn't treat you well when you were there and not wanting to go back for your kid. But then on the school side, there are also barriers. I think schools are often fearful of engaging families because they don't really know how it's going to go. And they also are fearful that families may want to engage in ways that they're not ready for or that they don't want. So I think there are a lot of different ways that we get in our own way. And I think it all boils down to the fact that we're not really coming to the table in a genuine team-building way. We're actually just coming sort of with our guards up, trying to get what we want.
And when we are able to wear other people's shoes, you know, and see things from their eyes, we do need to look at the perspective of others. So I originally started with special education and I was just a teacher, and then I became a parent. So I know my parent perspective and I know how that has changed for me. But what is a teacher's role within family engagement?
Teachers are so important in family engagement, and I think what's really difficult is that teachers are so important for a lot of other things, and we look to teachers to do everything. It's easy to identify that teachers, if they could be open, they could communicate often with families, if they could communicate in positive ways, not just negatively with families, if they could work to develop a partnership with families, I think that's certainly a teacher's role in family engagement. I think where the rub is that that's ideal. But teachers often view family engagement as sort of a side project or a side obligation that they have. And that comes from the top. That comes from the system. And that comes from schools and administrators not always prioritizing family engagement. So we can talk about what teachers can do, but I think if we're going to talk about what teachers can do, we have to talk about how there needs to be space for them to do that. And that's literal, like they need time to do that. But it's also in a more abstract way. Like, we need to teach teachers how to do that. We need to prioritize it. We need to talk about family engagement in the everyday in the same way we talk about curriculum.
And giving them that support system as well. You see it mostly as the school's responsibility to initiate that contact or create that environment that is a lot more welcoming for parents. What does that look like from a family engagement perspective?
I think understanding where families are coming from, and so it's going to be different all over the place depending on what the local needs are, but it kind of comes down to some key areas. I mean, I think having policies that are inclusive of families, that are understanding of diversity in families, even just the shift we've made from parent engagement to family engagement, understands that there are multiple people involved in raising
diversity,
children.
Yeah.
So many people are involved, and to limit it sends a message that we're only talking about certain people, and that some people are invited and some people aren't. So that's really important. And that happens at a policy level and at a personal level. Ultimately, schools need to prioritize it. It can't be something we do to just meet state requirements. Another really important component is training everybody in the school around family engagement. So we can't just say it's important. We can't just put it in policy, but then really put no meat behind it. If people don't know how to do that, if they don't know how to contact parents, if they don't know what is an appropriate way to tell a parent that their child is misbehaving in class, for example, then they're not going to do it. It's a multi-pronged approach that schools need to sort of take the initiative.
What are the positive outcomes that you've seen in family engagement when it's increased in levels?
Research has documented academic gains and sort of things like that, things we want to see. But I think personally, what I've seen that's exciting is the development of genuine relationships between parents and teachers. You can see it. I mean, they really do become a team. And they communicate about the children, about students. They talk about like, hey, you'll never guess what I saw so-and-so do today on the playground. And the parent's like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. They never do that at home. And to actually feel like you have some support. So for the teacher to feel like they have support in the parent, when they send their student home, the parent's going to reinforce what they just taught all day at school. And for the parents too, when they send the kid to school, they feel like their child is learning and their child is also being influenced by a positive, supportive adult at school. So I think the relationship is ultimately the best outcome that I've seen. We need to do this for academic reasons. We need to do this because children feel safer when parents and teachers are on the same page and they develop better social skills. They're able to learn everything easier. But I also think it benefits the adults involved too.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. So it seems like, from your perspective, the school and the administration's responsibility to initiate that engagement process. But what do you see as the parent's role?
So like any relationship, it can't just be one-sided. So I think parents also need to sort of show up for the relationship. Undoubtedly, though, there is a power differential. So schools, in most cases, have more power than parents. Schools do need to guide the process, but then parents need to respond to that. So if a school is initiating and inviting parents to join, we need parents to come. We need parents to engage. And we also need parents to help schools understand how they would like to be engaged. Because I think that's really important. It's not going to work if we're just doing things that are superficial to make people feel happy. Like, that's just not really genuine engagement.
Right. If you're a parent that's not literate, it's not meaningful to send home notes. That's
right.
Not going to work.
Or even to attend a family literacy night. Like, that may not really be the best use of a parent's time. And we need parents to say, is there another way we could do this?
So if I'm a parent and I'm just not really loving some of the aspects of how my child's education is going, I don't feel very connected to it. From your lens, how do you see parents organizing and generating actual change around their education?
So I think parents actually have a lot of potential power, especially in public education. It's often unrealized, though. And so the first thing that I always recommend is to just take a look around and identify any existing structures or avenues that are in place to help parents give voice to whatever their concerns are. Because often there are things like parent-teacher organizations, or there may be an actual process that's been developed and outlined by the school for parents to share feedback or address a concern. So I think starting there and using the structures that are in place will help. If that's not working or if that doesn't exist, then I think the real power comes from gathering and talking with other parents, especially parents that are sharing some of the same concerns. Because ultimately, what you can do by joining with other parents is build social capital. And if you build social capital, then you generate momentum and power. And that is what you're able to leverage to create change. And so one person trying to create change on their own is really difficult. But if there's a group of people trying to create change, that's far more powerful. And I think for parents, if they're in a situation where they're already feeling marginalized or like they don't have a lot of power, then if that group is able to align with another group that may have a little bit more power, some kind of coalition building, if you need to do it formally, or even just finding another group, then you're really, I think, setting up potential to make a difference.
Being a parent, I'm able to see the parent role, and with our interactions with parents, we can see that. And the school administration needs to support the process, especially with supporting teacher influence and kind of like the top down, in the sense that teachers are going to feel more empowered when they're feeling also respected and supported by the administrative staff. So how do you see then in all of this, the student role?
So I'm not sure there really is much of a role for students when we're talking about family engagement. I think we're here for students. Parents care about their children. Teachers care about their students. And that's important. And we should have a shared mission. But I think when it comes to family engagement, it's something that is for adults. It's not a child's responsibility to manage that relationship. And they shouldn't have to. That is why we have adults. So I think that there isn't a huge role for the student or the child. But we do have to keep in mind that that is the mission. We have a shared mission to care about children and students.
So this has been a lot of knowledge, and I'm actually super excited to learn a little bit more about it. So surrounding all of these issues, we have this upcoming event, the Family Engagement Conference. It will be November 29th at 8:30 to 3:30. If you would like to register, it is www.wnyfamilyengagement.org. You can also call Parent Network of Western New York 332-4170 if you have any questions about enrollment or if there's a technical glitch, things like that.
You can also check out on our last episode, Tara Burgess and Sue Barlow, the heads of Parent Network of Western New York and EPIC. They were talking about what specific speakers are going to be there this year, who's going to be at the breakout sessions, and what you can expect from that specific conference.
So can you tell me what, I mean, I was there, but I also was not there for the entire thing. What did it look like last year?
I thought it was really fun. What's kind of interesting about family engagement is sometimes it can feel sort of isolating because, you know, I'm in social work, or you could be in education, or you could be in children's mental health, but there isn't really a home always for family engagement. And so I thought the conference was really fun because that's the home for people who are interested in family engagement. And so there were a lot of people from a lot of different disciplines who represented different roles in the community who either are somehow involved in family engagement, study family engagement, or leading initiatives around family engagement. So I thought that was really exciting because I don't often get to talk to people who are doing a lot of different things in the same field. The other thing that I thought was sort of neat is I presented on the research around family engagement and how it influences students' academic outcomes. And it was really fun because there were so many people from different perspectives and from practice, it was really nice to be able to tie that research to practice. And honestly, sometimes being at the university and doing research all the time, I actually do sometimes forget that research matters and that people out in the field want to know what research says. And so being there sort of helped me to remember and sort of get grounded in the importance of the work that I do. And it also helped me to get feedback from people who are out in the field doing practice to think differently about the research that I do and how it might influence family engagement practices that are happening now.
That's really interesting. Thank you so much, Anna. It's been really enlightening having you here. We hope that all of our listeners are going to sign up for the Family Engagement Conference. We have linked in our show notes where to sign up, how to get registered. If you want to pass that information along to a friend or a colleague that you think that might be interested, do so. Katie and I are actually going to be at the conference. We are going to have a table for our podcast. So if you have an interesting idea or you're interested in being a guest on our show, please come over and talk to us. We'll be at the Parent Network table. So at the end of every episode, throwing you a curveball, Anna, I didn't give you these questions ahead of time. We like to do what are called blizzard questions. So we're just going to kind of rapid fire a couple different options off to you. And you have to tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
This is exciting because she's like my mentor. So I want to ask her all these questions. Okay. Ready, set, go. Bills or Sabres?
Ohio State Buckeyes.
Curveball. With chicken wings, drums or flats?
Drums.
Anchor Bar or Duff's?
Duff's.
Favorite brewery or winery in Western New York?
It's not the brewery so much, but Resurgence has a peanut butter porter. I will take that above anything else.
I've had that. That was good. I mixed it with a chocolate stout once, too.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was
really good. So in Ohio, that's called a Buckeye.
Oh, look at me.
We should maybe introduce that to Buffalo.
Fall or winter?
Fall.
And favorite restaurant in Western New York?
I actually really love Mississippi Mud's because I like ice cream and french fries.
I love
it's not fancy.
I love walking there. That's my entire favorite spot because we can go along the water and we walk and play with the frisbee and it justifies that I just ate like my weight in ice cream.
Exactly. It comes with a walking path.
It does.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. Anna, thank you so much for your time. This has been great. Make sure to tune in next week.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. I'm Katie.
And I'm Laura. This podcast is presented to you by Parent Network of Western New York, supporting families and professionals to empower individuals with disabilities to reach their full potential.
Join us again next time, and in the meantime, check out our website, www.parentnetworkwny.org.